Welcome to the Great Lakes Golf Podcast. This is Hunter Pulaski alongside Brad Burkaw. We are brought to you by Reed Furniture. Whatever your furniture need, it is Reed indeed. In this week's episode, after taking last week off, we have a little catching up to do. We have the Sanderson Farms in the books. Luke Liss comes out victorious in a playoff. Tom Kim goes back-to-back in Las Vegas at the Shriners Children's Open. We move on to Michigan High School Regionals results. We had some local teams make it into the state tournament, so we will touch on that. We will break down some college golf. Both the Michigan State and Michigan boys and girls are either finished or about to be finished with their fall season, so we will talk about that. And then we will get into the Zozo Championship taking place 14 hours ahead of us this week. So we get some nighttime, primetime golf to watch. And then we will finish off with some individual golf. I got some new wedges that will be here today and some other things. But first, Brad, let's... I'm just going to go ahead and assume... Did you watch much of the last 2 weeks of golf? I consider myself a golf nut, and I don't even, I did not, especially the Sanderson Farms. The Sanderson Farms is in like the weirdest, worst time, at least when it's, when I think of like Las Vegas, is that 3 hours or 2 hours?
Vegas is, I think they're West Coast time.
Okay. So either way, they're far enough behind us where, at that point, they're really only competing with either like the back end or the 4:30 games for football, or it's the nighttime and it's like it's only one game. And more times than not, these primetime football games have been so bad, I'll watch golf over that. But something like this, where it's a 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock start on TV for Saturday and Sunday, is just brutal for college football and the NFL. So I didn't watch a ton of the Sanderson Farms, but Luke List won in a playoff over Ben Griffin, Ludwig Ober for what we expected him to kind of mail it in a little bit, ended up making it to the playoff. Scott Stallings also in the playoff, and then Henrik Norlander rounding out that five-man playoff. So congratulations to Luke List. He ended up making, I want to say it was probably about a 25, 30 footer on the first playoff hole to win. And that was after, I feel bad for Ben Griffin. He missed a putt similar to that in regulation, which would have won it for him. So once again, congratulations to Luke List. And then Tom Kim this past week in Las Vegas goes back to back. The youngest player since Tiger Woods to win three times on the PGA Tour, I believe was a stat I saw. That's not too bad.
No, whenever you can be mentioned with LT Gray, it's not bad.
Yeah, and so I was kind of under the impression, and this is just me being a dummy, I think. Like I after Tom Kim won at Wyndham last year, and then he won Las Vegas here, won at Las Vegas last year at this event, I kind of thought that he was struggling throughout this summer, but he's on a string right now of seven straight top 25s. He had that T second at the Open. So it's been quiet, but no doubt he has been playing some very good golf and continued to show it this past weekend. But once again, did not watch a second of it.
I caught bits and pieces just like popping it on here and there. And then obviously on Twitter. But I mean, this dude has been playing unreal golf. His total true strokes gained since the Open have been over a stroke in every single tournament that he's played. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we've kind of all known that he's going to be a name that we'll see and that'll be around for quite a while, but I'm not sure if this is his like emergence or breakout or whatever you want to call it. I'm sure he's going to be due for one at some point in his career, but I think he's still a little young. I could see him still having a period of I wouldn't call it like a setback, but maybe not as consistent as he's been since the Open. But you got to imagine, I mean, he's what, like 20, he just turned 21.
Yeah.
I saw online. So, I mean, gosh, the guy just can barely buy a beer. But in the next few years, he's going to be a force.
Yeah. I wonder, I worry about how far he hits it. He hits it pretty low and he doesn't hit it very far. That like that doesn't like eliminate you from the US Open and the way they've been setting up the PGA Championship recently. It begs, I mean, it makes you ask the question if those like it goes back to like that Kevin Kisner, like why do you even show up to Pebble Beach and like he pays a lot for 20th place sort of thing. That's my only fear with him is if you put him on a long golf course and he has to moonball it, that's where you might see a little bit of struggle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I would say as like a counter argument, I think that the benefit he'll have as opposed to Kevin Kisner is early on in Kisner's career. I like distance has always been important on tour, but it wasn't prioritized as much as it is now. And I could be wrong here, but I don't think Kisner has had his early of wins. And I know you're probably just using him as an example, but I think if I could hope for Tom Kim, I hope that he's got some dollars sitting in the bank now and he can use that to kind of train, get stronger, increase that club head speed, get some distance added into his bag, because I do agree. I think that's the one part that he struggles with, because even since the Open, off the tee is really the only part of his game where he's not gaining strokes. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then just rounding out that leaderboard, we mentioned it off air, but Adam Hadwin made a $400,000 putt in the last hole to finish solo second to get out of that. There was what would have been a 5-way tie for third with Eric Cole, Alex Noren, JT Poston and Taylor Pendrith. But like I said, Adam made a putt, pretty long putt on 18 worth $400,000. So congratulations to Adam as well. That's a nice little bonus.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about that for just a minute. Can you imagine just doing anything in life that gets you $400,000
in that short of time?
10 seconds. Yeah.
Like, nope. No, I can't.
I mean, think about how excited you are when you make a putt with your buddies where you win like $20.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal.
He has to know I guess I can't say this for certain. I don't know what tee time he was in. I'm thinking
he had to have been up there. He shot a 63 on Saturday.
I'm thinking they were the last tee time. Looking at the scores right now, I think him and Tom were in the last tee time. So I wonder if he knew. Like, there's enough scoreboards around where you have to know you're in a 5-way tie for third, and that's going to cut into your prize winnings by quite a bit.
I will forever scream at the clouds at these players who say, oh, I didn't know what was going on. Oh, baloney. They all know. Yeah. They all know.
Yeah, you have to have some serious blinders on.
And I feel like if you don't, is it... And maybe this is a hot take. I feel like it's being a bad competitor if you don't. You have to know where your competition's at.
Yeah, but then does that go back to like the competition is the golf course, not the player?
No. No, because I think, at least for me personally, if I know I'm going into the last hole and I'm one down, I'm going to play that hole differently than... If I know I'm even or if I'm winning. And maybe that's not the right way to do it. But
no,
I
get what you're saying. I just feel like you're talking about like a match.
No, right. I think it applies to stroke play too.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it does. Like and there's no way there's not a scoreboard by number 18 where he sees T third.
Well, even if not, if you know you're in the final pairing and you know that this is the guy that's beating you, I mean, you've played competitive golf. You're always keeping track of what your other players' scores are.
Yeah. No, definitely.
I know that they've got like people like keeping their score for them and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know. I don't know. I think it's total baloney when they say, oh, I don't know what where the score was at, or I didn't know what was going on.
I agree. They're not fooling anybody. Not fooling us.
They're not fooling us. I'll tell you that much.
That's for sure. All right, let's move on to some high school golf. Regionals took place about, I guess this would have been like last Monday, Tuesday roughly, of last week. This is from the Division II Regional 7. Petoskey finished second place to advance alongside St. John's and Midland. They shot 383. Petoskey individually. Marley Spence finished 13th at a score of 100. Sarah Haas finished 103. Riley Barr finished in third at 88. Emma Berg finished in eighth at 95. And then Sophia Gardner finished in 13th at 100. Have you ever played the Emerald? I drive by that. That's like one of those courses I've drove by so many damn times and just never played it.
Yeah. No, I it's one of those courses where I know exactly where it is on the highway, but yeah. No, I've never played it.
So I think they've had like amateur events there. I think it's actually like a really good golf course. I need to get down there and play. And then just rounding out that the individual qualifiers, because we did have some Big North representatives from Alpena, Grace Bouchard shot 84 and Jamie Richards shot 95 to both individually qualify. And then Grace Drobic from Cadillac shot 93 to individually qualify. And then from Division III Regional 13 over at St. Ives Golf Club in Stanwood, Katie Maybank, PJ Maybank's sister, shot 82 to individually qualify for Sheboygan out of that regional. And then in Division IV Regional 19 at the Quest Golf Club in Houghton Lake, Michigan, Traverse City St. Francis finished first, Charlevoix finished second, and East Jordan finished third to all qualify as a team. And then individually, Hope Hodel from Elk Rapids shot 88, Jessica Campbell from Grayling shot 89, and Maria Thompson from Houghton Lake shot 106 to individually qualify. And then really no local tie or super local ties, but just want a quick shout out to East Kentwood senior Elise Fennell. She shot a 67 in Division I regionals. So congratulations to Elise. That's a very low score. Very good score. And I think the craziest thing is I don't believe they qualify as a team.
Jeez.
So she's out there just absolutely trying to carry her team to victory. And then as far as where the finals are, they are at the October 20th and 21st. Division I is at Forest Acres West. Division II, where Petoskey will be playing, I believe, as long as I just said that. Yep. Where Petoskey will be playing is at Forest Acres East. Division III is at the Meadows, which those poor girls having to play the Meadows in late October is just brutal. What's the weather like down in Grand Rapids this weekend? Is it going to be cold?
That is a good question. It has been very cold.
I just can't imagine a worse golf course to play in the end of fall than the Meadows.
It is, yeah, 50s. Nice. Rain on Saturday.
Nice.
Rain on Friday.
Nice. Well, they're going to have a good time out there. And then D4 is playing at Bedford Valley in Battle Creek, which is another golf course I have never played. Hear about it all the time. Never played it. Honestly, I don't even know where Bedford Valley is.
I know where Battle Creek is. It's near here.
Oh, well, then we're close.
Yeah.
All right.
I was just one little tidbit on Elise Fennell, because I was curious. If you post a 67, my thoughts go to that you're playing golf at the next level. She will be playing golf at the next level at Illinois State University. So that's pretty awesome.
Nice. What Illinois State? Is that the Wolfpack?
I don't know. I know my wife had
some
friends that went there. It's the Redbirds.
Northern Illinois, I think, is the Wolfpack.
Yeah, Illinois State is the Redbirds.
Okay. Well, congratulations to Elise. Hopefully she finishes out her high school career strong with a victory next week at Forest Acres West. All right, and then let's finish up with some college golf. MSU boys, I would say, have had a pretty so-so fall. They ended up finishing 11th place this past week, minus six. Michigan boys have played a little bit better. They finished fourth place at the Little Rock. Let me see if I get this right. Where did that? It was the Little Rock Invitational down in Little Rock, Arkansas. LSU finished first. Troy finished second. Little Rock finished third, and Michigan finished fourth. Hunter Thompson from U of M led the way in a second place finish, his second place finish of the fall. He shot 72, 66, 69. The other Michigan notables, Jude Kim, finished T33, 70, 74, 72. Yugi Liu shot 75, 72, 73 to finish T46. Will Anderson shot 74, 72, 75 to finish T49. And Jack O'Donnell shot 81, 78, 72 to finish in 81st place. Both the Michigan State and Michigan women played at the Ruth Chris Tar Heel Invite down in North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Michigan State finished in fourth place. Michigan finished in sixth place. For Michigan State, some bright spots. Brooke Bierman continues to play really well this fall. 76, 69, 71, T12th. Katie Liu also playing well this fall. T15th. 74, 72, 71. And Layla Raines finishes out the notables for Michigan State in T17th. And then for Michigan, Monet Chun led the way. She finished in third place, 67, 70, 71. Haley Borgia in second with scores of 74, 73, 74. And Sydney Yermish rounds out the notables with a T36, 78, 77, 68. All right, let's, before we jump into Zozo, I sent this article to, or put it in the notes for Brad to take a look at it. It's essentially just breaking down how the signature events are going to be populated, I guess would be a word I would use. So it looks like the signature events are going to be roughly 65 to 80 guys is my understanding, and there will be three events this year. The three events that are invites, player led invites. So that's the Genesis Open, or the Genesis Invitational, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and Memorial. Those will all have cuts. I think it's top 50 after the first 2 days, and then every other signature event will be the same as this year, where it's all four rounds being played. What they've added this year, which I think makes sense, so the signature events will be, the players in the signature events will be the top 50 members from the 2022-2023 seasons. Essentially, anybody that qualified for the BMW Championship, the second FedEx Cup event this past year. And then from there, there'll be 15 other members that'll be included with the 50 members to make up the signature event fields. 10 of those members, it's a group called the Next 10, which will be the 10 top members not otherwise exempt from the FedEx Cup standings. So these are guys that from spots 50 to 60 in the FedEx Cup standings that are not otherwise exempt. And then there is the Swing 5, and the Swing 5 is made up of the top point getters from the non-signature events. So like the John Deere Classic and like the Rocket Mortgage. If you play well in those events, they're set up in groups of three, I believe. So if you play well in the three leading up to that next signature event and you're in the top five, then you will be playing in that signature event. So it does feel, in a roundabout way, it does feel like this is a good thing. It feels like they're giving players the opportunity to play their way into these signature events. So for example, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which is now a signature event, it was not last year, January 29th through February 4th, will be the next 10 from the final FedEx Cup fall standings. So guys 50 to 60 that did not qualify for the BMW Championship. And then the Swing 5, the top FedEx Cup point earners from the Sony Open in Hawaii, the American Express, and the Farmers Insurance Open to determine who will be in that field. and so on and so forth throughout the entirety of the year. Can I leave anything out? Does that make sense?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense what they're trying to do, trying to get more guys involved. And they want to give priority to guys who played well last season, but also give guys who are playing well in the current season opportunities. So,
yeah, I think that's nice because a lot can change in a year. Like you can be playing some really good golf or playing some really bad golf, and that can all be flipped on its head in a calendar year. So I do like how it feels like there is more of an opportunity for these guys that are just on the outside looking in to play their way on to a hefty majority of these events.
All right. Exactly. And especially with the PGA's push towards getting young talent onto the tour. I mean, you're at a disadvantage right away for a signature events if you're coming from like PGA Tour U, but adding in the Swing Five and Next 10 can kind of help alleviate that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on to, we are back, PGA Tour back in action over in, I keep saying, I'm going to say Asia just so I'm politically, I'm pretty sure it's Japan.
Yes.
Okay. So the Accordia, at the Accordia Golf Narashino Country Club, 7,079 yards, par 70. The last two winning scores were both 15 under par, 265. It's pretty straightforward, shorter golf course. So definitely something to keep in mind. Rough grows at 3.5 inches is the primary cut. So, and looks like there is going to be wind, at least on Friday, potentially on Thursday as well. So it does seem like there's going to be an emphasis on ball striking, and if you can hit the ball low, more power to you. As I mentioned in the intro, I want to say this is either Shiba or Chiba, probably Shiba. Yeah, it's 13 hours ahead of Eastern time, so it's nice with West Coast golf, but this is like a whole different animal. Like the Saturday night, you can stay up until like 1 or 2 o'clock watching golf. You feel like you're on top of the world. This is when I feel like it's in a great spot because there's just nothing. Like what's it up against?
No excuses.
Like paid programming?
No excuses.
Yeah. So this is where I expect. And the field backs up the need to watch. I mean, it feels like we're inching our way closer and closer to the Century Tournament of Champions, which is scary. It's only a couple of months away now, and the new season kicking off. But do you have the odds board right there?
I can pull it up here in about 2 seconds. So coming in as the favorite this week, we've got Xander Schauffele 7-1. Right behind him, Colin Morikawa at 12-1, Sungjae Im 14-1, and then both at 16-1, we've got Hideki and Ricky. 18-1, Minwoo Lee, Sahith Theegala 20-1, and I'll round it out here at 22-1 because there's a name here that I think both of us are going to want to talk about, but we've got Keegan Bradley and Cam Davis at 22-1.
That's a... How many guys were just listed off in front of Keegan Bradley? The disrespect this man is dealing with is making me sick to my stomach.
It's baffling. It's
why,
like,
would he be that?
You know,
how many guys were like actually just blacked out? Was it like 7 guys?
It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, 7 guys.
Jesus.
7 guys.
Christ on a cross.
What? For anybody who played competitive sports growing up, you always played against like that one guy, and every team had their one guy. It's like the Aaron Kraft of the team. And it's like the guy that you just don't want to like piss off. And I feel like Keegan Bradley fills that guy to a T. So not to mention the fact that he won the damn tournament last year. I mean, he won the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle. And then combine that with the absolute disrespect that he received from the Ryder Cup with Netflix coming to his house and all of this other jazz that's been coming out, this man is going to be on a mission this week, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, and I think right here, right now, it's this week, but I think this extends. Like I could see him just going scorched earth, and whether that's him playing well or just being just a pissed off puppy, but I'm excited for it. I don't know if it's actually going to lead to better play, but there's only one way to find out. Because you mentioned it, he won last year. He was T13th in 2019. He was T7th in 2021. The only year he stunk up the joint was, and I don't even think he played, was the year that it was in California because of COVID.
Right. So,
I mean, yeah, I'm hard pressed to believe that there are seven guys that are worth your attention more than Keegan Bradley. Very hard to believe. I could see, like, I came in here with a one track mind. It was Keegan Bradley all day, every day. But I don't mind, like, Sahith Theegala. I always feel like when you get that first win, it almost like the floodgates kind of open up. Like, you realize, I feel like Max Homa has always talked about this. Like, once you believe you can do it and you actually do it, it just opens up like the world's your oyster at that point. He was T5th here last year in his debut. So, obviously, has some experience on this golf course. Another guy I really like is, I don't mind Ricky Fowler. He had the 54-hole lead going into the event last year. I really like Minwoo Lee too, coming off his third professional victory somewhere in Asia. I don't know how he was wearing. I kept thinking he was wearing shorts, and I go, how is he wearing shorts? I thought there was only one tour on this planet that you could wear shorts at, but apparently I was wrong. So he's coming in obviously in some really good form too. So there are guys that get me excited maybe a little bit more than these past few events have.
Yeah, I think I had all those guys on my list. I like Sungjae just because I'm a fan of his game. So more of a personal rooting thing, rooting for him this week. But all of the guys that you mentioned are positive money for a top 10 finish. Keegan Bradley is at plus 210 for a top 10 this week. So there's some value here, I think, on this leaderboard. And there seems to be in some of these events that are, we can call it the shoulder season, I guess. But I love Keegan Bradley this week, even at top 10. I think that's great value.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, How does Zozo get all these marquee guys over here?
That's a great question, because it's not like the purse is like crazy huge.
And it's not like it's like the Fortinet, where I don't think I've seen like a Zozo logo on any of these guys. Like the Colin Morikawas and
right.
The Xander Schauffeles.
It's a good question.
You that bored?
It's a good question.
You're going to go all the way across the world to play some golf for a couple days?
Yeah, maybe they look at it as a vacation too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely possible. I feel like, I think Xander is part Japanese.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
And then I think Ricky has some background, Asian background.
Half of half.
Yeah, something.
All right, so that's really all I have about the Zozo. Like I said, it is we got ourselves late viewing hours, so I don't think it is out. Yeah, so from 11 p.m. until 3 a.m. all 4 days. So definitely some late viewing hours. Might have to take a little nap or something.
Yeah, late night coffee.
All right, that's probably all I have for the Zozo, I think. Anything else that you can think of off the top of your head?
No, I don't think I have much for Zozo. I'm excited for it though. I feel like it's a first kind of real good golf we'll have since the Ryder Cup. So
yeah,
excited to watch.
I think the Japanese golf architecture kind of just catches my eye. It's always very very green. Especially now that like we're getting into the Drury fall days, it just, it's nice. It's just a nice little touch up to the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, golf has become very popular over there, so they always seem to do it right for this tournament. So it's not surprising. I mean, it is kind of surprising, but it's not surprising that the players like to play in this event. So, but, I guess if that's all we have for Zozo, I'll transition here because Hunter dropped a little tidbit on me in our intro meeting that he made a little purchase over the last few days. So why don't you go ahead and tell us all what you bought?
Yeah, so I bought some new wedges. I have been in the market now. I think I've had my wedges for 2 years and I play a lot of golf. So I feel like that's about the time when you need to switch them up. And this is partly on me, partly on my bag staff, the bag staff of Petoskey Baby Country Club. I hope they're listening to this. They are so bad at their jobs that they don't, my clubs are very dirty. And they got so bad that my 58 degree wedge is just like rusted. Like it's straight up rusted. And
yep.
I've had black wedges now, 3 sets of them, I think. And this is the first time this has ever happened where it just got so dirty that I pulled it out of my bag and it was just a different color than what it should be and has all these markings on it. I've been a Mizuno stan most of my life, at least with irons. And I have kind of wanted to make a switch away from Vokey now for at least the last couple years. Haven't been able to find anything that I liked. And when I went to do what I usually do, which is buy last year's Vokeys at a discounted rate, they were not there, at least not all the ones I needed. I think I could have gotten like maybe a 50 degree or 54 degree or something, but it wouldn't have been a full set. And I've been meaning to try these Mizuno wedges now. I've hit them a couple times at the simulator. They seem fine. And I kept, prior to this year, I always thought my wedge game, at least around the greens, was like really pretty solid, but it's starting to trundle downhill a little bit. So prior to this year, I would have had a hard time because I would have been like, well, I miss my Vokeys. But now that I'm just not a very good wedge player, I feel like it's a really good opportunity I'll be able to switch with really no excuse as to why I stink. So I'm excited. I told Brad, they are satin chrome, which I've had black wedges. My eye is not nearly as sensitive as my co-host, but that is something. I swear I read that they don't reflect in the sun. I don't know if that's true, but I'm trying to like find it as I talk, because I would really like that to be the case. Let's see.
So I have the chrome wedges and mine are old. Mine are the SM5s. So I'm also due for a wedge upgrade, which I will be doing this off season. But for me, yeah, my eyes are just, and it's gotten worse as I've gotten older and they're just so sensitive. So I will be making the change to black wedges away from the chrome. But I it's not to say that, I mean, it's if you have sunglasses on, you're fine. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like it's like piercing through your sunglasses.
I think I got it. So I think you might just have chrome wedges. I got chrome satin wedges. I think the satin is what puts you over the edge a little bit without the sun. No sun reflection.
That would make sense. I think a satin is like a more darker color.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think that makes sense.
Okay. Whew.
All right. You're in the clear. You're in the clear. So I'm guessing you did a 50-54-58 split.
50-54-58. Yeah, I was really more focused on the grinds than I was. I guess it was a mix of both, but the way it's kind of hard to explain, but there was certain grinds for certain wedge, degrees. So there was two options. 50 degree, I only had one option, which was 8 degrees, which I've always had, which I'm fine with. And then it was either between an 8 degree or 12 degrees of bounce on my 54. I ended up going 12 degrees. And the reason for that was...
You mean bounce? 12 bounce.
Yeah, 12 bounce. Yeah. I've always... I've been using my 58 around the greens a little too much, I think. And it sounds like with this grind that I picked for the 54, I'll be able to use my 54 a little bit more. So I think I'm excited to do that. I think I've been getting way too comfortable, like hitting, I'm not using the ground nearly enough, which I think is part of my problem. So I'm hoping to get back into using 54 more around the greens. And then I got a 58 with like 2 degrees of bounce or 4 degrees. It's really not much at all. So that should be nice for like tight lies and things like that.
Yeah, I think that that bounce is something that I didn't really know a ton about when I was younger. And then as I've gotten older, even when I bought my last set of wedges, the last set I bought was when I still lived in Colorado. And I actually just had like our head golf fitter just like pick wedges out for me. So I didn't even really know anything about it then. But in the last few years, I've tried to learn more about bounce because it is super important when buying wedges to understand bounce on them. I strongly suggest anyone who's looking at buying new wedges to try to your best ability to understand bounce and grinds on wedges. For me, I play my 50 degree and my grind on it, and I can't remember the grinds. They're like different letters for Vokies. It's like L, M, S, something like that. But my grind is set up so that I can play it more from the fairway with a full swing. And what you're mentioning with your 54 is kind of similar as how my 54 is set up in a similar way, where it's meant to be played more with a full swing. It's not really meant to be used around the green as much. Whereas my 58 is, it's meant to have the I think it's a grind that doesn't quite, or maybe it digs more in. It's either digs more in or doesn't dig quite as in for around the green. But when I get my new set with my 54, I think I want to give that a shot too, is to try to go for a grind that's more friendly around the greens.
Yeah, that was the exact, I can't find the article I was reading to determine. That might be right here, actually. But it was essentially the grind that I got for the S grind is what I got in my 50 degree. That's better for full shots. You aren't really manipulating the golf club at all. So it's just full square face. And then I want to say it's the D grind. It's more, a little bit more versatile, so you can open up the club face a little bit. And that's what I got with 54. And then I got the X grind, which is a more extreme grind that's heel toe grind along with the lowest bounce. So I think I'm pleased with what I ordered. I think if I like them, I think I'm gonna go back and order another 58 like tomorrow. Cause I'm really tired of I saw Michael Kim, I think, tweet this. So you have to, you're almost better off having like a practice wedge and then a course wedge, just because they just get beat up so much in practice between the shitty range balls and the sand covered range tee. It's just bad news.
Yeah, I don't hate that, because I agree. I mean, when you're at the range and you're practicing wedges, I mean, every shot you're taking a divot and you're just caking that bad boy with dirt. So, but I'm excited to see your wedges. I don't know if I'll be able to make the switch from Vokey to another brand or not, but we'll see when the time comes. I'm planning on making my purchase during the Maple Hill Golf sale that I beat to death about on this podcast every week.
I think my most favorite thing about that is, like, I think you like it, you're like publicizing this, but like really you just kind of got lucky. Like there probably are really good deals, but like your deal was just like pure dumb luck.
Oh, my deal was absurd. There's no way I will get anything close to what I got with my wedge purchase. But I just, I mean, I'm a deals guy. I'm a finance guy. So when I hear deals, I
come running,
I perk up a little bit. But just the idea of being able to haggle in golf was an experience that I had never, I mean, I've seen, everybody's seen stuff on sale in golf, but to haggle, I mean, come on now. So I'll be making my purchase then, but I am also, and I wanted to touch on this a little bit, because the last time we talked, you were looking at getting a wood, and apparently that That didn't happen because the golf manufacturers lost your dollar by not being able to provide you with a wood. But this spring, I'm thinking that that's going to be on my agenda too. I want to do some research throughout the winter, hit some clubs because I think my 4 iron is going bye-bye. I'd like to replace my 200 to 210 club, 200 to 215, call it, I guess, dispersion rate. With something a little bit more consistent. So I'm curious if you'll rally back on that, if you're just spurned by the golf manufacturers.
I think I will rally back because it happened again this weekend. We were playing in a scramble, and you don't know how badly you need a 200-yard club until you play in a scramble from the white tees where it's cold out. I hit like a 200, so I would hit a 270-yard drive or like a 265-yard drive, and I'd have a 205 yards in wet, cold conditions. And like you're asking me when it's 49 degrees out to hit a 4 iron 205 yards, and it really has to be like borderline carry because it's just not rolling. And that happened three times, I think. I think four happened four times. Two of the times I tried to hit a cut hybrid, airmailed the green, and then the other two times I left it short. So I'm sitting there. I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Well, I do know what to do. I will be buying at least a four hybrid or something to replace that four iron will be bought before next spring. Now it's getting really close to deciding. I'm close to wanting to go like all Mizuno. I'm getting there. I think the Mizuno or the Mizuno woods have made leaps and bounds since even in the last 2 or 3 years. This most recent line of woods for Mizunos is really, really good, I think. Heard really good things about the hybrids too. So that's really the only thing I have to kind of figure out right now is if I want to, because I don't, that would be expensive. I feel like I'm almost more likely to get like a Callaway Maverick, even though it's a couple years old, just so everything's the same. And then maybe in a few years, maybe not a few years, because that driver's, I don't know where time goes, but that driver's going on 3 or 4 years old now. But
Yeah, I
I
mean,
still love that driver.
I'm a stan of, I like Titleist for drivers and woods. I'm curious to see what they'd offer. I'm thinking, so I have a four hybrid, but I hit my four hybrid about 230 ish, 240-ish, maybe somewhere. It depends on if I'm hitting off the tee or off the fairway or rough, or, obviously. But I'm thinking that I'd be curious to see how far I'd hit a seven wood. I'd be very curious to see how far a seven wood goes.
Yeah, that's kind of where
So.
I am. And I think it would fit really nicely. I wouldn't need it that much at Bayview is what I keep coming back to. You just don't need that club at Bayview very much. So like the 25 times a year I play somewhere else, 20 times a year it'd be great, but
Yeah.
there are a lot of
And
times where
it's
I'm just not hitting that club.
not to say that the 4 iron is going to be removed from the bag forever. I still think that there's going to be a lot of times where I'll still want my 4 iron,
For what?
but
For what?
when I hit it in the woods and I want to punch out,
Is that your punch out club?
rarely. No, I mean, if I have like, it has to be pretty primo conditions to where I know I'm confident I can get a good strike on the ball, but generally I go a little bit more lofted for ease of mind. But I'll tell you what, I might I'm intrigued by the seven wood. I'd be curious to see how far it goes, and I might give one a swing here in the next few weeks because I had my last little shout out I wanted to do here. I'm a deals guy, a deals guy. The
If you
Golf
haven't
Galaxy here
heard.
in Grand Rapids is reopening. They're calling it a reopen. They've been open kind of throughout the last like 6 months, working on the facility, but it is now a Golf Galaxy Performance Center, and it actually looks pretty cool. So for any of you golf nuts who are able to get to Grand Rapids towards the end of the month here, they're doing like huge deals, giveaways, all sorts of stuff. But I'm just excited to actually have like all of the technology, I guess, that they'll now have with their new performance center. So the one here in Grand Rapids is old. Hunter and I went here like 20 years ago.
You're aging us.
Okay. It's not 20 years ago. It was 15, though.
It was 15, but...
It was 15.
When I said you're aging us, I was like, that was no more than 10 years ago. But that was just not true.
It's a soft 20, hard 15. But it was the same store. They'd never done anything with it. So it's nice to have a nice facility here on the west side of Michigan, because I know a lot of people, even from up north, but I guess you guys have the Traverse City Golf Center, which is really a really nice facility from what it sounds like. I haven't been there, but
yeah. And actually you've been there once or twice. The Petoskey Golf Center has made some really nice leaps and bounds with having, like, they don't have Titleist, which is tough, but I'm not as fond on the woods as you are. So I think he has Callaway, Mizuno, TaylorMade, Strixon, maybe one other brand. And he has like the fitting carts, and that's like, I feel like when I really get into wanting new clubs, cause I can see they got the track hawks right there and the quads, and like, I can see numbers, and that's when I see a couple numbers I don't like, and I start pulling out my wallet.
Right. Yeah, no, it's, getting fitted for sure. I mean, for me, I don't, and maybe I'm just a bad golfer, but I never feel like a huge difference between manufacturers. Like, I like Titleist, and that's probably a bit of just like brand preference, but am I going to go out and say that I think there's like a drastic difference between a Titleist head to Callaway? No. But what I really, really enjoy, and what I'm hoping that they'll have for this performance center and just have access to more, is air shafts. I know nothing about shafts. I am clueless. So I just need them to give me a shaft and say, this is the shaft you need to hit. And then I'll say, okay, and I'll go on my merry way.
Yeah. Oh, I think I don't know if you've talked about it on the pod, but I think the head of the club these days is borderline minute as far as like the differences. They're so small, but there are so many differences in the shaft and what the kick point and spin rate and all that jazz and I think I have a stock shaft in mine, so it's not, but I don't have a very high spin rate either. So it's kind of just, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, cause you're definitely, there are a lot of people that I see swing and I go, you are losing out on so many yards, cause it goes high and you can literally watch the ball balloon as it's flying in the air. And like, it reaches its apex towards the end of it, and then it just drops straight down rather than starting it off high. Cause and that just shows how much golf technology has changed since we were in high school. When we were in high school, you wanted to hit it low. You wanted to hit it low and you wanted it to run. And now technology has come along so far that you can just moonball it and somehow the ball has no spin on it. Makes no sense.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, even my last driver, my R1, that thing, the shaft in it was terrible. I mean, I'd hit drives that would go just sky. I mean, I'd power drives smack dab in the middle and they go just like so high in the air. It was awful. Mm-hmm. For driver, I mean, I think driver, it's important. Woods, I've never really seen an issue. I'm really glad I got fitted for my irons, though. I've noticed a huge difference with having an iron shaft that fits your swing.
Oh, so yeah, definitely.
Here's our plug for everyone to go get fitted this winter and go buy new clubs.
Yep. Say, you can say, if your wife or your significant other says otherwise, you tell her that Hunter and Brad come talk to us.
Yep. So they can call in.
Yeah, call in. We'll discuss.
We'll talk to them.
All right, that's probably all I got. I'm going to try to play some golf today. It's supposed to be 60 degrees. It'll be nice.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. It's it looks like it's nice out. So I might sneak out. We'll see. I got to mow our lawn, but
jeez.
We can do that on a bad day, right?
Amen. Amen to that. All right, well, hey, good luck to everyone at the Zozo Championship. We will talk to you next week.
Alrighty, have a good weekend, everybody.
See ya.